Open in Scripture, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. We are going to finish Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. If you're looking at a pew Bible, it's page 869. So page 869 of Matthew chapter 14 there. Starting at verse 22, and this is Peter walking on water when he sees Jesus. And this is really neat. I was really excited to get to share this one with you guys because Meredith and I got to share this with the kids in Canada this past summer on mission trip. It was our little devotion on our day to get to work together and do the Bible study at that VBS that we did up there in Victoria, Canada this summer. And it was really neat for us because we don't usually get to do ministry together on account of the pile of children that we have. One of us is wrangling and one of us is ministering. And that's it. Trade off who does what and who does which thing. And so we don't often get to do stuff together. We got to teach this as a Bible study lesson together at VBS in Victoria this past summer, and it was so much fun. And so I kind of talked with the lesson piece, and she would come up and give an illustration from her life, a little story, and then I would teach another little piece, and she would come and give an illustration. I was like, Meredith, good news, you get to come help me tonight with the lesson. And she said, absolutely not. My sweet, wonderful wife has no interest in being in front of people unless they're wee children, and so we don't get her for that, but I'm still going to share with you the stories. Both hers and mine that we shared with the kids at VBS in Victoria this past summer as we read through this passage about Jesus walking on water towards the disciples and Peter hopping out of the boat to follow after Jesus. So let's pray together and let's read Scripture. Father God, I pray that the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you, and I pray that you would use your word to change our lives. And this I pray in your name. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 22. Now immediately he made disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after dismissing the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was alone there. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came towards them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord for us tonight. A well-known story, well-remembered, and not without cause. It's a fantastic one. Jesus sends the disciples on ahead, as we talked about this morning, so that Jesus can be alone again in prayer to the Father, as was his practice regularly. And our behavior needs to be informed likewise. We need regular time alone in prayer to God. So Jesus goes to do this, but he's praying well into the night, and the disciples have gone out well onto the sea. And the storm is rough. Jesus shows up. They're terrified because you would be too. We all would be as well. It's the middle of the night. It's the wee hours of the morning. It's still pretty dark. And there's somebody walking on the water towards them. But then Jesus says to them, every word that Jesus says in here are just glorious words. But the first thing that Jesus says to his disciples is, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." First thing Jesus says is, "Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And Peter hears this and says, "Well then, if it's you, command me to come out on the water to you." And what does Jesus say to him? "Come on." Very good. Colloquially. Not just come, "Come on." And sure enough, Peter hops out and he starts to follow Jesus. But then Peter is sinking because he's afraid and he cries out and says, "Lord, save me." What happens? The Lord saves him. He cries out, the Lord saves him and says, "Why'd you doubt? Who'd you think you were with?" They all get into the boat at the end and they recognize that this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. They've seen the signs. They've seen sign after sign. They've heard the preaching and they know that he is powerful over everything, healing the sick, providing food for everyone, walking on water, calming storms. This is God himself who created all these things, who has control over them. They know that now and they believe it. The first thing for us to look at tonight is this, is Jesus tells Peter, yeah, come on. That's our phrase we're going to look at tonight, because I tell you that any person who calls out to Jesus and says, Jesus, can I follow after you? Can I go where you're going and do the things you're doing? The answer to every single one of us is, come on. If you want to go and be a part of God's work in the world, the answer to every last person who says, Jesus, I want to be in. I want to be involved. I want to do what you're doing. Where are you at work? Can I be a part of the work you're doing? The answer to every last person from Jesus is, come on. Anybody who wants to follow Jesus gets to follow Jesus. You understand the emphasis, though, that I put on working with him and participating in the ministry work that God is doing in the world. It's not simply a, Jesus, will you forgive me, which is absolutely a central part of what we have in Christ as Savior, but also in Christ our Lord, we have the opportunity to participate in the work that God is doing. We have the calling to participate in the work that God is doing. So not just Jesus, can I be a part of your family? Will you forgive my sins? But to everybody who calls out to him likewise and says, but Jesus, can I follow you? Can I join in? The answer is always yes. There is a place for you in service of Christ as well. And so when we're up in Victoria and we're telling this to the kids, you know, we have them do fun children things along the way, like we make a storm with the sounds of, you know, our fingers pattering and then clapping and then padding along and make the sound of the storm, and it gets wilder and wilder, and we throw each other around in the boat and all this, and then we calm the storm back down. You guys remember doing this as children? This is not new. This is a classic children's ministry, but it's fun to get to make a storm with the kids. But then we talk to them about the first time in which we called out and said, Jesus, can I be a part of your family? Can I follow after you and obey? And so Meredith told the story about her salvation at our Victoria camp, and she told the kids, you know, I went to church one day, and we were there at church one night, and then we went home afterwards, and I'd heard the gospel at church, and I believed it, but I hadn't done anything about it, and so I talked to my mom that night, going to bed, and she sat there on the edge of my bed with me and shared the gospel with me and asked me if I wanted to pray and ask Jesus if I could follow him, And then Meredith's mom led her in a salvation prayer, and she was saved then as a child. It's a simple and beautiful story. It mirrors many of our stories of salvation. I tell you what, you guys, there are so many things that make me so appreciative of my mother-in-law, Donna Wilson. She's a fantastic lady, but of all the good things she does in my life, that's number one that she has done. She's also not much for talking in front of people and absolutely doesn't want to be recognized in front of a group ever, but she faithfully led her daughters to Christ, and God bless her for that, and me and my children and everybody else. It was also along with this, sharing these stories in Victoria, that one of the girls heard this, who had, you know, was looking up to Meredith and appreciating Meredith all week, heard this, heard about how simple it was to go home and to pray to Christ and say, Jesus, can I follow after you? And came back to camp the next day and said, I did that last night too. Heard the story and was led to Christ. And then Meredith sat down with her there at camp and said, do you want me to lead you in a prayer likewise, like my mom did? And Meredith got to with that girl there in Victoria, Canada, who comes from just a lot of hurt in her family up there, as you might imagine. And so there's that one. My stories come second. They're not as exciting. Mine was more a call to response to ministry, not salvation. I was saved likewise in growing up from my father's witness going to church. But There was a time when I was called into ministry, and it was when I was at children's camp, at a little children's camp in Denton County, Texas, called Camp Copus. It's a lot like White Oak Conference Center. You guys know White Oak? There's not a whole lot to it these days, but it's been there serving a lot of people for a long time, and a lot of people have answered the call to follow Christ up there. And sure enough, that's what I did at Camp Copus up in Denton County, just north of Dallas. I was at children's camp, I was a child, and I walked down one night and I said, you know what, God's calling me to be a missionary, I just know it, and I'm going to go and do whatever God calls me to do. I want to be a part, and I want to go and follow after Christ. And then I promptly, being a child, forgot about that. And didn't think about it for a long time. And so when I went off to college, I didn't know necessarily what to get a degree in. I just grabbed one. I liked to read, so I got an English degree. They let me read a lot of books. It was easy peasy and a lot of fun. And then out of college, I was working in IT for a while until one of the churches my dad started needed a children's pastor. Their children's pastor went off to start churches in France. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll come be your children's pastor for a while. We were young, we were married, we didn't have kids. I could say something like, that sounds fun. You know, we'll go do that for a while. We were in that mobile phase of life before children. But it was then that I took another group of kids to children's camp and had a memory and said, wait a second, I was here doing this exact same thing and I've totally ignored it all these years, but I told Christ that I was going to follow him and serve as a missionary in ministry and I've got to do it. That's exactly what he called me to do. I've just forgotten about it and ignored it all these years. And so it was then that I committed myself to ministry. I knew that's what God was calling me to do, and then serving in it again, realized this is absolutely what God's calling me to do. I got to catch up and get to work and go back to school again. And so I did. Everyone who cries out to Jesus, for all of us who say, like Peter, can I come and follow you? Can I come and be where you are? The answer is always yes. You're going to have your own stories, dear believers, of when you were saved and when you called out and said, Jesus, can I be a part? But moreover, you're going to have your own stories likewise where you saw God at work in the world somewhere, and so you went to him in prayer and said, can I go? I'll go anywhere. Or perhaps it was a specific trip or a specific time where you said, can I be a part of this at that time? The answer from God is yes. And so tonight, even if you don't know where, the answer is going to be yes. But you need to call out to God and say, can I be a part of the work you're doing? I believe, I know my sins are forgiven, I love you, Lord. Can I be a part of the work that you're doing in the lives of people? And the answer will be, though you may not know where or how, the answer will be yes. And so, when you see it, when you hear it, when you know it, then you need to jump in and follow through on that one. Now, what happens next in our passage tonight? Peter does, in fact, get out and go to where Jesus is. He hops out of the boat, starts walking on the water. It's incredible. He's like the second person to have ever done this, and the first one was Jesus. So that's incredible. And then Peter starts to see the waves and the wind, and he gets scared, and he starts to sink. Which brings us to our next point in ministry tonight is for every person who has said, Jesus, can I follow after you? For every person that has begun following after Jesus, there will be a scary time that comes along. So it is to follow Christ. There will be difficulties. There will be scary times. Every last one of them. Jesus doesn't have the kindest word to say to Peter here. Where's your faith? He says, oh, you have a little faith. But he's also not angry at him. Jesus, as soon as Peter cries out to Jesus, Jesus reaches out and saves him. He's not there to say, you know, insolent Peter, you drowned in the waves. Where you're from. He's not angry, but it is a honest question. Hey, where's your faith? Come on, you're following after me. And so Jesus pulls Peter out of the water there. Every single one of us who follows Jesus are going to have hard, scary times in our life where difficulties are going to come along. We're just not going to know how or what to do. And the answer is going to be, keep following Christ. Keep trusting this Christ, the one who began a good work in you. He will bring it about to completion. The one who started you off in life following after him, he will bring you to the finish line if you will continue to follow him throughout your life. One trouble for Meredith, here's our stories, One thing that was hard and scary and difficult was a car accident that she was in college. I was there, but in another car. We were doing the car caravanning, a bunch of college students driving through some narrow, winding roads in northwestern Arkansas to see a friend's farm. And the one car that I wasn't in, but Meredith was in, got into an accident, a head-on collision there in the woods. And it was terrifying. And it was scary. And everybody had to go to the hospital. And Meredith had to be careful. I had to around a little bit. But God was good and gracious and provided for and took care of my dear, sweet now wife. It was wild to see. It was more wild, I think, to be a part of. But God provided for and took care of everyone in this car accident, brought them all through it well for his purposes and in his timing. So it is that there are scary times for everybody who follows after Jesus Christ, but we can trust the Lord. My scary story is about being in ministry and ministry work, which can be scary sometimes. But I worked at a church that was, I've told some of you guys this story, but here it is to kind of show my scars. I worked at a church where the pastor had to be asked to leave, and there was a long, painful two-year interim. 2 years is a long time for an interim. This church has had long interims in the past, too, and you may have been at a church that has, and that's a long time. That usually means there's some, it doesn't always. Sometimes it's strategic to have a long interim, especially after a long-serving pastor, but frequently that means there's issues and there's trouble, and where I was serving, there sure were. I said there, I was one of five pastors on staff when that senior pastor was asked to leave, and by the end of it, I was the last one on staff at the end of the 2 years when a new guy came in, and it was Wild West up in there. It was painful, and there was a lot of division, and people had different opinions, were trying to steer in different directions, and a lot of it was inappropriate and mean-spirited, and some of it was, all of it was just sad, and plenty of it hurt an awful lot. But I couldn't shake the fact that this is where God called me to be. And though I was ready to go off and pastor a church, I knew that he was calling me to stay through this hard time until the new pastor got in and to help that new pastor get established before I left to go pastor a church somewhere here. And so it was that I saw some of the most painful, difficult things there in ministry and was a part of it and had seen it. But, you know, God led me through a hard situation. I didn't always do the best, or I thought I did really well at the time. And looking back, you can see, I could have done better. But still, I trusted and obeyed Christ, and he led me through a difficult time. Now, you perhaps have an even better story. How in following Christ, it has been difficult. We could all sit around here showing off our scars tonight about how it's been hard sometimes. But you know, for Christians, the end of showing our scars to each other is talking about how glorious Jesus was, about the grace of God, about how he was always there, and about how he led us through, even though it was difficult, which comes to our third point in this passage. Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." And do you know what happens? The Lord saves him. So it is for you and I as well. Are you scared? Are you in trouble? Are you hurting? Cry out, "Lord, save me." And just like anybody who cries out and asks if you can follow him, he allows you to follow him. So everyone who cries out, "Lord, save me," receives their salvation from the Lord. This is our God whose arm, as he says himself, is not too short to save. Like, how far away was Peter from Jesus? It doesn't really matter. The arm of the Lord is not too short to save. And so, how far away are you? Where are you? Where's God? We don't necessarily have Jesus himself bodily standing next to us on the waves, but we have him all the nearer in our lives because we have the Holy Spirit with us at all times. Christ can and will save. Let us call upon the name of the Lord and trust him at all times. Peter is one who said this and who did this. Paul. Did I say Peter first time? Paul is one who said this and did this. Paul, who saw all kinds of difficulties and obstacles, who was imprisoned, who was shipwrecked, who was snake-bitten, as you read through Acts and all sorts of other things. And there towards the end of his life, in house imprisonment, awaiting his execution, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the very last chapter there, he's writing to Timothy and he's telling him, you know, fulfill your ministry, do the work of the evangelist, do all the things you're supposed to, Timothy. And then Paul says to him, listen, I am now ready to be offered like a drink offering. The time for my departure is at hand. But you know what? I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Hence, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge who will give it to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all of those who love his appearing. Paul says at the end of his life, he is about to go and be killed for his faith. That's absolutely what happens next in Paul's life. And Paul knows it, and he writes about it here to Timothy in what is perhaps his last letter to Timothy. Timothy, keep doing the good work. Don't stop. Keep following Christ rightly. I've been following Christ, and I know that I'm about to die for it, but I'm not afraid of this because there is more beyond that martyrdom, Paul says. There's more beyond this death. Rather, there is a crown laid up for me by him who I believe in. Paul says, essentially, the waves can get as crazy as they want to. I trust Jesus Christ as Lord, and the path that he's leading me on, he had said, will lead to glory, and so glory there will be. But Paul says, what's more, though I may go to die, I know that this righteous judge has a crown laid up for me, but not only for me, for all of those who love his appearing. For all of us who, though things are difficult, though times get hard, though we're uncertain of what to do, all of us who have said, Jesus, will you be my Lord? Will you be my Savior? Jesus, can I follow after you? All of us who will stand firm, trust in the Lord through any difficult season that comes, there is likewise for us a crown of righteousness stored in heaven for all of us who cherish and love the appearing of the Lord as Christ came, and as we hope and believe that Christ will come again. So, I say to you these glorious words tonight. First of all, everyone who asks Jesus if they can follow him will get to follow him. Ask him tonight, can I be a part? Show me where so I can jump in. And he will answer that prayer for you. Second of all, everybody who follows after Jesus gets scared at times in their life. That's a part of it. Once you've asked Jesus if you can be a part of it, things get crazy sometimes, and things get harder than you're going to expect them to be. But you can trust Jesus at all times. And everyone who cries out to him and says, Jesus, save me, receives their salvation from this Lord of ours. So, let us all diligently say these prayers to the Lord. Can I be a part? And Jesus, would you save me? And finally, Jesus, come soon. Father God, I thank you that you are so gracious towards us. I thank you for these messengers who came into our life to tell us the gospel. Those who said yes, they would follow after you and came and shared the gospel with us long ago who trusted in you. Father, I pray now that we would be diligent like them to continue to spread the gospel and tell others about Christ. Father God, we want to follow after you. If you would show us as a church what you would like us to do and how you would like us to do it, we can commit beforehand. We're in. Anywhere, anytime, we're in because Jesus Christ, you are our Lord and Savior. As I pray in your name, amen.